Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Forrest Stevens Show. Today, I'm talking with Dominic Jordan, who is a cinematographer and filmmaker. And we talk about the differences between narrative filmmaking and documentary filmmaking. We talk about what it was like for him to create a short film. And in a very small amount of time, they had a very short amount of time to film it. And we also talk about him creating a production company and a team where different people have different skills and different abilities. So this is definitely one that is filmmaking heavy, but it's creative heavy as well. It'll be interesting to anybody in any creative field, I think. There's definitely some things we can glean from this episode and learn from. So hope you enjoy. And just before we get started, there'll be a little bit of an ad read. Thanks everyone for listening and watching. I appreciate you all. If you've been enjoying this podcast for a while, I know that you're going to enjoy this next thing that I'm talking about, which is my book. It's called Tripping. And this book and the podcast are definitely interconnected. And sometimes in this podcast, on the solo episodes, I'll actually just open up this book to a random page, read it out, and talk about what it kind of brings to mind or how it was formulated and thought out. These pages aren't full, so this can be kind of a journal type thing where my paragraph in here is a jumping off point. It's a new thought and it will spark creativity within your own mind and you can add to it in your own way. Now that's what I do on the podcast sometimes. And a little bit about this book. It is available on Amazon as a paperback. I highly recommend it as a paperback, as that trip companion, as that journal. And you can just randomly flip to it, or you can read it through and kind of just gain some insights and some nice jumping off points for yourself. But this book was written over a year of my life, a life in isolation and doing intense yoga every single day for over an hour, breath work, and combining that with different psychedelics, predominantly cannabis, and writing down the thoughts that came to my mind. Then I filtered through those thoughts and those writings and edited them up a little bit so that they were concise and that they would create a new thought in your mind. That's the goal of this book. And I hope that it will be interesting. And so far, a lot of people who have bought it have said that it's been really, really awesome. So, I mean, that's good for them. And I think if you enjoy this podcast, like I said, just to wrap it all up, if you enjoy this podcast, you will definitely enjoy this book. It's available in the description below. Recommend getting the paperback. It is available on Kindle as well. Thanks, everyone.
I've been just recording videos and just making different films since I was about like 7, 8. First got started just because me and my brother got inspired by N1 back in the day when we did the streetball mixtapes, doing different tricks. We got inspired to start doing those type of tricks, but then also film a whole mixtape of us just playing basketball, doing all that. Luckily for us, our uncle, he was an editor for Viacom, so he was able to not only provide us with some software, Sony Vegas, like old school version. Terrible software, but it really helped us get started. But he helped us get the software and just learn the basics of video editing. And then we just went from there. From there, I continued to just record videos whenever I could. I got lucky and the first cell phone I got had like a video camera on there. So with that, record videos. To a point where at one point during school, I was essentially world star hip hop before world star hip hop was a thing, where I somehow was always at where fights happened and I would record it. So everyone would just come to me and watch the videos and everything. And I was just continuing just making videos, some dumb, making some like anime music videos and just keep on editing and do that sort of thing. And then it was, once I got into college, decided to start freelancing, did both photo and video work, and then just continued that till 2019, decided to graduate, and then went full-time as a videographer and photographer, and then just kept on working, doing different projects, until one day I got the opportunity to do my first short film. And this was through a fraternity brother of mine. He told me, one of his buddies, he was starting a short film. He's like, hey, I think you'd be great for that. I'm like, all right, cool. So we connected, and unfortunately, I couldn't do the first time when he reached out to me. Sent out of town, so things didn't line up. I'm like, you know what? If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Fast forward like a few months later, hits me up again. He's like, hey, doing this short film called Renda. Would you be interested? I'm like, yeah, sure. Sends me a script. I read through it. I'm like, okay, I like this. Start the process. And through Renda, we shot that over 3 days. With literally no budget. And that was probably the first time I was on set doing that type of thing. And luckily, I've done enough video and photo work, so I know how to navigate a set and just camera gear in general, so was able to get through it. Was it stressful? Oh, hell yes. I'm like, anytime I see those 72-hour film challenges, I cringe a little bit because I'm like, I don't want to go through that again. Because whoever goes through that, you are a trooper. But did that film, and then from there, submitted to a bunch of different film festivals. It did fairly well. It got into a few different ones. It got top 3 in Athens, got nominated in Paris Film Festival. It premiered at a Connecticut Film Festival, one in Miami, one over in India, as well as it got into the Venice Film Festival as well. And then, yeah, from there, we used that to jump to our next film, Three Left Turns, to where we did a crowdfunding campaign. It did phenomenal. We were able to get 200% of our budget. And then over the next 9 days, we shot it. And now we're in the final post-production of it. And here in like a few weeks, we'll be having the premiere for the film.
So what's the plan with that one after the premiere? Do you have are you going to enter film festivals again, or go which direction with it?
I would say you gotta wait and see. Follow us at Marlon Dean on Instagram to just see any updates of what we have plans going with that.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Funny enough, just to get back to the origin story there, I also started on Sony Vegas as well. First things I edited was on there.
Dude, I feel like everyone has started on Sony Vegas, and we have all turned our backs on it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was your, I don't know if I just missed it there, but what was your role in the short film, Arenda? What did you do there?
Yeah. So I was a cinematographer and editor for the film.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sweet. And, kind of what got you interested? I mean, I know you said you started pretty young there, but what was it about like videography and filming, and even like filming those fights at school or filming stuff with your friends or whatever? What was it about that you wanted to be behind the camera filming? What interested you about that?
I don't know. For me, it was just fun. I enjoyed doing it, and that's what just got me into it. But recently, so my great grandmother, she actually suffers from dementia. So because of that, I've started to take more photos, do more videos, just so it will encapsulate that moment for me. So if for whatever reason, if I do have dementia in the future, I can look at these photos and videos and things I didn't pass, and it kind of maybe snaps me back to that point. But also just to capture in general. I enjoy just creating all these different stuff. It's what I've always loved doing.
Yeah, for sure. There's something to it. So filmmaking, you've made it your career now, so you're able to do videography and run a studio. Is that kind of what you do, or how do you mostly make a living through it?
It's a weird dichotomy that I have. So I have two different production companies that I own. So there's Marlon Dean Productions. That is all the narrative, long form videos, music videos, things like that, where I'll make the films, documentaries, all that. And then I have my other company, Slevin Studio. That is my commercial photo and video company. That's where I will do commercials, product photos, things of that nature for businesses and capturing their stuff. And that's, and that on top of the marketing consulting that I do as well, that's how I make majority of my money.
Nice. That's pretty sweet. In college, did you study filmmaking at all, or is it all kind of self-taught? How did you learn how to do all this?
Oh, I did not study it whatsoever. Here's a kicker, and here's what like messes a lot of people up. Even people who went to college with me didn't know my major until I graduated or I told them, because my initial major was athletic therapy, which is a prerequisite for... So it's like a pre-med degree for physical therapy.
Oh, okay.
And that was my initial path. And I will say that's still going to be my path, but this is essentially a detour that I want to take to do photo and video, because while I'm young, I might as well do it now. And so the reason why I decided to have this detour for me instead of just fully following my career goal with physical therapy was just the patients that I work with. I worked with a lot of like geriatric patients who end their life just trying to get by and everything. And a lot of them said the exact same thing. And I know a lot of people hear this anytime you talk to anyone who's like older or close to death, they say, try to live life without regrets. Like they say, oh, I wish I did this. I wish I did that when I was younger. I should have done this when I was younger. All these regrets. And that's something I don't want to live with. So I decided to take that detour and be like, okay, let me just go full time into being a photographer and videographer and make content, do all these different things, which has worked out for me and has given me a very wild and crazy life that I would never expected to do and things that I've done. But yeah, that's just how my life has turned out, where instead of following my degree that I got, I chose to do it this different way where I was self-taught. I taught myself a lot of these things. The only thing that I did get like a little bit help on was in college for photography. I got a little bit more coursework on how to edit, which worked out in my favor because then it also helped me become even better at color grading.
Yeah, for sure. Those skills cross over. Pictures and video are very similar in that respect, definitely.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
So is cinematography, is that kind of where you want to go and continue with? Or what are the different aspects of filmmaking that you like to be kind of in charge of or doing?
At least for right now, my goal is just to master my skills in cinematography and editing. That's what I'm trying to focus in and just hone my skills in on that so I can perfect it to where it's like breathing for me. I don't have to think about it. It comes naturally to me. There's still, I'm getting there, but I can always use a little bit more time to hone in on those. Once that happens, I do want to get more into directing and writing my own stuff, because currently right now I am also writing some different films, some TV shows, and also trying to work on a documentary or two that may come out here within the next few years. I don't know. We'll see.
Sweet. So you're doing some documentary work too.
Yes.
Like if it's going to be coming out soon, have you've already started filming and stuff for that, or planning it at least?
I'm in pre-production stage, in the pre-production phase right now.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. That's primarily my work is like, that's how I make a living is I run a media company that, and I make documentaries and I work with a few other filmmakers. But yeah, it's all documentary stuff. I haven't done, besides like short little videos with friends, like anything like storytelling or I guess, narrative film. It's all been documentaries for myself. But so that's where my expertise is.
Yeah, I'm going to say documentaries and like narrative films are both great in their own way, but they're also a different beast at the same time.
Totally. Yeah. There's a lot of moving parts. Yeah, it's just different, you know, it's just very different. But when you're working with actors and you're trying to portray something and you have it totally, like with documentaries, I find like I'll formulate what I want something to look like even before I go and film it. But there's so many just unpredictable elements and uncontrollable elements, and that's part of it, and that's part of the charm of the documentary too. But with narrative films, it seems like you know you're trying to control the set a little bit more. You're trying to capture an image that you have in your mind, or even that you've storyboarded. And yeah, there's unpredictable, uncontrollable parts in that too, especially with no budget or low budget. Like you're kind of working with what you got a lot of cut times, but it's just a different beast in that way a little bit.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Because with at least narrative films, like you can have the most perfect plan. The perfect plan down to a T of everything that you want, everything that you want done. You have every solution for any problem that comes up. Yeah, no, throw that away. Just toss that into the trash, because no plan that you have will prepare you for what will happen on set. It's completely like night and day, where at least with a documentary, if there's like things that happen that are out of your control, it adds to that charm. That's not the same with the narrative. Like you have to try to control it as much as you possibly can, and sometimes things don't work for you.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. Is like the uncontrollable part of the documentary can lead to something good, but the uncontrollable part of a narrative film will rarely lead to something good. It's like, yeah. That's funny.
No, it'll just lead to the crew just cursing the sky and wondering why this happened.
Exactly, yeah. So can you tell me a little bit more about Marlon Dean Productions? When I go to your guys' website, it looks like there's kind of a main team there. Can you tell me a little bit about who those people are, or how you've kind of created a bit of a production team there for your narrative films?
Yeah, absolutely. So Marlon Dean Productions were started by Darson Arvey. He was the main brainchild behind all of this, and who have gotten all of us together. So himself, he wanted to get into film. He tried the traditional route, didn't like it because there's some gatekeepers to Hollywood. So he's like, let me find a different way that I don't have to appease to them by doing it my own way. So he decided to start making five different short films, try to just make his craft better, be better writer, actor, director, and all that. He started with a couple friends who were also interested in acting and doing that, and then slowly he built up the team. So it was him, and I want to say Bastian started on the first one, but I think he didn't like really like help out with it until like the second film. But Bastian Hill, that's his brother, he helped him out with like doing writing, just help like feeding off each other to help with ideas. And then they started to do more and more together, to which they both co-wrote our recent film, Three Left Turns. Tyler, he was similar situation, where he was a friend adjacent of Dawson. He has done music. He is honestly one of the most talented musicians that I've come across. As much as he doesn't want to admit that he is, he really is. I'm gonna be honest, he has that same thing all of those artists have of not thinking all stuff is good, but he really has some gems out there. But he started on doing some audio stuff for him, but mainly was like, I'm going to be your composer for your films. And he's done an incredible job doing the scores for the films since then. And then after that, it was, so you got Dawson, Bash, and then Ty, and then there was a 2-for-1 deal when I showed up. So I joined at the last short film that they did. And we need some extra hands to just help out while doing the film, because again, 72 hours to do a film is not a lot of time. So you need a few extra hands on deck just to help out. And I put out so during my time in college, I joined a fraternity, and I decided, let me put out some feelers to see if anyone is willing to help out on set. Luckily, they had two people who would join the fraternity who want to help out. One who was just like, I'll help out because you know what? I'm down to help out. The other one, he was a content creator. He has been a content creator for the longest time. He's been doing video, film, all this stuff. So I'm like, you know what? You're perfect for this right now. Have him join on. And then he just helped out and then just kept, he loved it and just kept on coming around, helping us out. And then we added him to a team as well as with me when we joined. And his name is DeadFox, Twitch streamer, TikToker, does all that good stuff.
I mean, that's the thing about another difference between narrative and documentary work is like when I started doing documentaries, I was able to do it just by myself. Like it's, you can kind of have a really small crew and I mean, I have to wear many hats, but like I'm able to do it as one person. And then, you know, with narrative, it's like, it takes kind of a team, I would say, to build something really good. It sounds like you guys have like, you all have different things that you're good at or different things that you want to do. And you're able to like have that solid team of people with different skills. Like that's so important, I feel like, for a good production company.
Oh yeah, no. And the best way that I've described this to them and everyone when I talk about us is we're kind of like the Avengers. We all have something unique about us that together we can do something great, but at the same time, we all have things that we have in our own realm that we can go do and have our own little solo adventure, but then eventually come back and we do a nice little project together.
Yeah, that's a good analogy for sure. So I'm thinking about somebody who's listening, maybe that's an aspiring narrative filmmaker. What do you think that, like, my first thought is like, maybe it's a good idea to kind of get out there in the community and try to find those other Avengers to team up with so that, you know, you guys can all make lighter work. Would you suggest that? And what are some other kind of things that you would tell somebody who's listening right now that might want to become a filmmaker?
Some advice that I would give to them is, first off, just go out and shoot something. It doesn't matter what it is. Write out an idea, get some friends together, and just go out and shoot it. The main thing is you need to make as much things as possible because that's the only way you're really going to get better is by shooting multiple different things. And be creative, be wild with it. Like, don't try to fit yourself into this one little niche of a box. Create multiple different things. Do multiple different genres. Don't just do horror. Do like horror, romantic comedy, action, thriller. Do the whole gamut of it. Do documentaries. Do skits. Do stop motion, animation, whatever. Just create multiple different things because that way it helps hone your skills. When it comes to just finding people to help out with this and finding a team, go to your local networking events. A lot of different Facebook groups out there have networking for businesses, for filmmakers, all that. Join them and just network with people. Get to know people in your community, other filmmakers out there. I'm sure even if you live in the middle of nowhere, I'm sure there's going to be one or two other filmmakers out there who also wants to be doing film. Person who does audio, that's going to be a special person you're going to have to find. Good luck to you. If you do find a good audio person, keep a hold of them because they are very, very hard to find.
Yeah. No, that is a really, really, that's solid advice. And I like what you said about just trying different things because ultimately, like, that's the only way you accomplish anything is by trying, right? And, you know, all you got to do is try and something might come out of it. And what do you think about, I mean, you guys went the festival route for your short film. What do you think about like kind of the state that we're at with media and the internet and where kind of like, I mean, I went the way of just putting things on YouTube and just constantly doing it and doing more and more and finding my audience there. And that's predominantly how I make my living is from YouTube. So what do you think about kind of the space that we're at now where there is other options besides just the gate-kept Hollywood that of old?
Yeah, so with just how the space is currently, you really don't need to wait for someone to say, yes, go create something. with YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, all these different platforms, you have that ability to get in front of millions, billions of people's eyes and get that following now versus trying to go the traditional route through the Hollywood gatekeepers, appease them, do everything, do dot your I's, cross your T's, all that to get to Hollywood that way. There's been multiple different people who've gone the untraditional route of posting to YouTube and getting their film out there. Like the most recent H84 film, what was it called? Talk to Me, I think it was called. But both of the director and creators of those film, they started on YouTube. They had like a short on YouTube that went massively viral. A24 saw what they were doing and gave them a shot and gave them opportunity to create this film that has been, from what I've been seeing, has been doing numbers. And that just goes to show you that doing it that way can be a great option, not just doing the traditional way. I'm about to say another one that we're going to go to another A24 film, but it's the Marcel the Seashell. That started as a YouTube short. That was a short film on YouTube first before it ever became a film. And that one did amazing. It got nominated, did all these great things. But that goes to show you that going the traditional route isn't the only route that you can go down. You can do these other different things by posting to YouTube and posting different videos. Maybe do a TikTok if you don't want to do long form videos on YouTube. Trust me, I get it. It gets tiring. But doing something where you are creating content is going to be the best thing you can do because it allows you to be seen by all the other people who, for the most part, before the internet, you wouldn't have been able to get in front of. Before, it was just TV or movies you'd be able to do, maybe some radio, do the traditional route, but now there's no longer gatekeepers as much to get in your way of creating what you want to create and train the audience to be able to do what you want to do.
Yeah, totally. 100% agree. So I noticed that you mentioned this, that you have sort of two sides to your filmmaking, and you have the narrative films, and then you have sort of, I don't know if you said this word, but like more of like a corporate, like you're kind of doing videography for a people or photography, lifestyle, product, things like that. Is that like, when I see that, I think like, okay, this is where you like, you're able to like fund your creative filmmaking side from the more standard filmmaking business. Is that the case for you?
It's twofold for me. So one, yes, is definitely, it pays the bills. I can do all this. It'll bring in money. It'll bring in revenue. And I can pay my bills, live comfortably, and be good. But on at the same vein, it helps me hone in on my skills as well. Because a lot of times there'll be projects that realistically I wouldn't be doing myself because maybe it's not something I would want to do as a personal project. It'd be something that someone hires me and is like, hey, I need this type of photos or this type of videos to do. Can you do this? Yes, absolutely. And then it helps me hone in on my skills to make me better at being a photographer, videographer, because in those situations, I have to hone in on more of the technical side of it and figure out a way that I can also interweave the creative side of it as well. Because I'm sure you've noticed this as well, working with clients, a lot of times the creativity may be appreciated, but they have their own creativity in this like nice little tiny neat box that, hey, stick within this. Don't go outside of this, not even like a little inch. And because of that, it helps you understand how to overcome these challenges. Because if you don't understand how to overcome these challenges, when you reach a tough spot when doing something like a narrative long form film or like a documentary or anything outside of that, you start to run into these problems of how do I solve this problem? Whereas doing it, going through the commercial route and doing these type of videos, it helps you learn different routes and avenues that you can take to still get a solution to problems that may arise.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like the client work will, like it's stuff that, by the sounds of it, and I'm also speaking from my own history of having done client work, it's like I'll only take on projects that I am technically comfortable doing and technically able to do, but then in some ways it still pushes your comfort zone, and when you push that comfort zone, that's when you're like able to learn, right? That's in that space where you're learning how to deal with people or how to deal with, you're just like learning all these different things, and then also getting more time behind the camera or behind the computer editing, where you're able to learn just like, oh, okay, let's crop that a little bit, or let's, you know, oh, this angle looks good. You know, you're just like, the more time doing things, the more you learn. Like, you can be as good as you can be, but if you're spending more time, like you said, it's like honing your skills. It's like sharpening your blade, kind of. That's how I look at it, at least.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Because I've had clients who have sent me stuff where I'm editing stuff for them, and it's like, I'm questioning who like shot this. Like, what were they thinking? And it's like, okay, I have to now be a magician and figure out how to fix this. While in that moment, it may be frustrating as all trying to figure out, how do I do this? How do I fix this garbage fire that they sent to me and make it look like a masterpiece? While in time, it may be like frustrating to do, but learning how to do that comes in handy and clutch when things happen and you have to fix those problems yourself. When you're doing the shoot and then maybe something happens where there's a mistake that happens or something is wrong and you don't have time to go back and do a reshoot or fix something. And I know all of us hate this phrase, but fixing it in post, learning how to fix it in post is a crucial skill to have. While I hate using that phrase and I don't throw it around lightly because I don't want anyone to think, oh, I'm a magician, I can fix anything. I'd rather get it right in camera first, but I have the technical know-how to fix it in post because of clients that I've had in the past that has forced me to learn those technical side of things so I can fix them in post. But then if I have to, I know I have the skill set to get it down rather than me scrambling and being like, what do I do now?
No, for sure. I mean, I found that filmmaking and most creative endeavors in general are, it's a lot of troubleshooting. It's like, okay, I want to do this, but how do I do it? Like, that's, you've created a problem. So you're just troubleshooting. Okay, well, I need this location. How do we get that location? And then, you know, the whole fix it in post thing, it's like, well, there's a problem right there. Like, if it needs to be fixed, it's a problem. And so you're troubleshooting it and you're doing it in post, right? So it's, I like to think of filmmaking as basically just a whole list of problems that you're trying to solve.
Oh yeah, no, it's like this one giant puzzle that is blank that you have to do in the dark.
Yeah.
That's the best way to think of it.
Yeah, you're just fitting those pieces together to make something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, I think we can wrap it up here, Dominic, but once again, if you want to tell everybody where they can go to see your work, Instagram, websites, it'll all be in the description as well, but if you can tell the listeners.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So you can follow me at CreativeTeddy7. That is my personal page. You can follow me there. My commercial page is at Slevin Studio. And if you want to catch more about what I'm doing with the film and where that's going to be and where you have a chance to see it, follow at Marlon Dean on Instagram to get all updates of what we're doing and anything coming down the pipeline.
Sweet. And I think it's MarlonDeanProductions.com. And do you actually have some of your work available? Is Arenda, is that on here?
Yes. You should be able to view Arenda on there. And if the listeners want to go check it out, just search on YouTube Arenda. No budget.
Okay. So you have it on YouTube as well. Awesome. Sweet. Thanks for your time today, man. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate being here and talking with you. It's been great.